Bald headed, and I kept getting them mixed up. Got hair, bald headed, then we got in between like me. Just in spots. Welcome to North Point. I hope you guys have had a great week. I couldn't wait to get here. There's no place that I would rather be. What I'm wanting, my hope for you guys after this summer that I'm talking about connecting with God is that when people see you guys, that even though they know it's bad times, they're thinking, how can that guy or how can that lady be so happy? This is a recession going on. What's going on with them? And I hope that they see the love of Jesus Christ in all y'all, because I'm believing in revival in the middle of this recession. And I believe we're going to be fine. I believe we're going to trust, but I believe that we have to connect with God. I believe we have to reconnect with Him. See, sometimes we have moved. I told you guys last week, that I've been riding my bicycle to work and stuff, and it's dark. I don't like being by myself. How many of you like that? You don't like being by. Am I the only wimp in here? Right. But I don't like being by myself. I bought this truck, and the radio don't work, so I'm by myself there. I got nothing. I like noise. I like stuff that's going on. I like somebody to be. I like noise. I don't like being by myself. And because then I have to think about things. I think about me, I have to think about the Lord. And I think I told you guys last week that I was coming down Twin Bridge Road. It was dark. I don't like the dark either. I'm kind of scary. But I got my headlight on that bicycle. I'm looking good. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Jim, I've missed you. I'm thinking, who was that? But then I knew who it was. He says, Jim, I've missed you. And I'm thinking, our Lord in heaven missed me. Little old me. But then he told me, he's missed me because I haven't been connecting with him. I've been kind of disconnected. And so, and as I began to ride my bicycle, as I began to drive my radioless truck, that I began to connect with him. And I'm having just a blast. I'm having the best time of my life talking to him and him talking to me, but mostly just listening. I hardly ever listen. As my wife will tell you, I try to do most of the talking. But I'm having a good time listening. When you're by yourself, there's nobody to talk to but at the Lord. And he's really, really talked to me, and I've had a wonderful time with it. But I found some verses. I shared them with you last week that kind of parallel with the times. It says, during those dark times, it was not even safe to travel. Problems troubled the nation on every hand. We don't have just economic troubles. We have international problems. We have cultural, spiritual, relational. But even in the darkest of times, God says there's hope. And the next verse, 2 Chronicles 15, says, listen, all you people. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with Him. Do I need to read that again? The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with Him. If you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you abandon Him, He will abandon you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without God's law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord and sought Him, and He was found by them. In their distress, they turned to the Lord. They didn't turn to governmental policies and governmental solutions. Guys, if we want revival in our life, in our relationships, in our businesses, if we want revival, we have to reconnect to God. Reconnect to Him, period. And I put the antidote to national recession in there is to connect with God. And for all summer, I'm going to miss two or three Sundays. We're for vacation and things like that. But most of the summer, I'm going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to spend there. It's in Matthew 6. If you guys don't know how to do where it's at, it's where Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And we started off with the very first verse last week. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That this is the prayer of connection. This is the prayer of connection. We talked last week about how Jesus said, "Our Father," and this broke the mold, because you know he didn't just say God or Creator or he said our Father, Abba, and so it changed things. And we discovered last week that God is a person and not a power. And we went into a couple of things last week and about how to connect with God. Because remember, I told you that sometimes when we say Father, we say Daddy, that some negative feelings come up because of some insecurities that we got. You know, maybe you just didn't have a consistent father. I'm not a consistent father. And maybe you didn't have a caring father, something like, but I don't want to talk about, and I don't want to dwell on too much about all of that. What I want to talk about is our Heavenly Father and what kind of Father He is. And I want to explain Him, or try to as much as I can, if you can't ever explain God. But the role of Father and the role of Abba in your life. And we talked about we can connect with God because He is a caring Father. He is a compassionate Father. Luke and I had a compassionate moment a week or so ago. We was caring, how caring I was. You know, we talked about we're going backpacking and hiking up in Montana in July. And he said, "Dad, you know what? Can you out? You know, it's filled with bears up there, grizzly bears and black bears, polka dotted bears, what bears?" He said, "Dad, you going to be able to outrun those bears?" I said, "No, Luke, I just got to outrun you, son." And so very, very, very caring father I am. God is a loving father. A father has compassion on his children. Compassion says, cast all your anxiety. He is, and the second thing is to connect with God is to remember He is a consistent Father. God is dependable. God can be counted on. He is reliable. And guys, you know what? I want you to grab hold of this verse. I thought about it all week. You know, 2 Timothy 2:13, we talked about it last week, but it's worth saying again. Even if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. He's faithful when we ain't. Guys, that's a promise to hold on to. Even when I'm not faithful, He is. When I'm not faithful, He stands there ready. He's always there. So hold on to that. I'm not going to talk about too much. That was it about last week. If you missed it last week, the CDs are free out there. Grab one of those on your way out, or grab two of them. We don't care how many you got. Get, they're free. But the third step to connect with God about Father is that He is a close Father. I love that song. Everywhere I go, I know You're not far away. Right here, yeah. I'm good. That's all this. But He's a close Father. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's close as the very next heartbeat. Acts 17:27 says, God did this so people would reach out for Him and find Him, since He is not far from each of us. God the Father is not far. He's not a God that's a million miles away. God is with you right now. I prayed this morning that God would sit with you. That He would be right there with you, each and every one of you. And a lot of folks, you know, I wonder, you know, I remember reading, why do folks struggle with this, that God is distant? And you know, I told you sometimes it comes out of growing up. And since the early 70s, it began in the 70s that many families became this two-income family. And they spend less and less time with their families. And so somehow we grow up thinking that we have to earn God's love, that we have to do something for Him to want to spend time with us, that we have to. But, guys, I want to tell you something about God's love. It's an incredible gift. It's a gift that He just gives us. We don't have to earn it. We can't earn it. But sometimes we want to do all kind of stuff to try and earn. If you're here today and you're trying to earn God's love, I want to tell you something. Stop. Just stop. If you're coming to church just to earn God's love, just stop. It's free. It's free. If you're coming to wanna to earn God's love, stop. If you're serving the kids, just to earn God, stop. It's a free gift. He loves you. And to know that I hadn't got to do anything, isn't that freeing? That's the question. Isn't that freeing? You know, I tell Luke and Sarah, you know, I say, do you guys know what you got to do for me to love you? Absolutely nothing. We don't have to do anything for God to love us. But you know, it's incredible. I got some good news, and there are three statements here. I'm going through real quick here. But the first bullet I put here that you want to add is that He is never too busy for me. God is never too busy for me. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Every time you call. Every time you call, every time I call, God doesn't say, hold on. He doesn't say, oh, hold on. He is really that great. God thinks about you and I way more than we think about Him. He's mad about you. He's crazy about me. Can you imagine riding down the road and the Creator of the universe says, Jim, I missed you? Jim, I missed you. And I believe it was an audible voice. No one else was around but me and the squirrels. But I heard it. Jim, I missed you. I'm talking about the man that created the oceans. The person. As the song says, told the water where to stop. Said, Jim, I missed you. He's saying the same thing to you guys. But somehow we got to cut everything out. Cut the radio off. Stop being so busy and listen. Somehow we got to do that. He misses us. He misses us. He wants to reconnect. But you know, He's never, you know what I found out as He told me that is I get too busy for God. But He is never too busy for me. Do you guys ever get too busy for God? Or am I the only one honest in here? Yeah. The second thing is that God loves to meet my needs. Not because he has to. He just loves to do that. You know, I remember as the one thing as a parent, I love to see my kids eat. Especially when they little. And I know Trey been eating. And I used to just love it because those pictures. I saw that picture of Trey up there with food all over his mouth, you know. And I used to love to cook. I still do. I love to cook and watch my kids eat. I thank God when God loves to provide for us. God loves to just meet our needs. And He loves that. And He smiles. And don't you know, don't everybody like to see their kids eat? Everybody like to see their kids do well? God says, I like it even better than you do. Look at Matthew 7:11. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, I love to see my kids get straight A's. It just makes me so proud. If I'm proud, God is even more proud. He's even more proud. He loves to meet my needs. Also, He is sympathetic to my hurts. God cares. Maybe something happened to you this week, this past week, and whether it's a relationship broken or whether it's a heart broken, and you need this verse. It's a great verse to hold on to. Please, if you need it, it don't belong to me. It's for you. It's a promise. Psalms 145:8. No, that ain't what I want. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. You're brokenhearted? The Lord is close. You're crushed in spirit? The Lord is close. God understands. I don't know what you're going through. I don't have a clue. But I know there is someone here that's brokenhearted, and God is with you. God is close. But it's us that moves. Y'all remember that story about the old man and the woman in the truck? Then I'll spare you from telling you again. I really want to tell you. Is there somebody here that hasn't heard it? Right, it's an old man and a woman in the truck. This old man and an old woman in the truck. They're going down the road. Both of them got their arms out of each window. She said, I remember when we was young, I used to ride up next to you. I'd sit in the middle of the truck. You'd put your arm around me. She'd say, and she said, why don't we do that anymore? The old man said, I ain't moved. Sometimes, if we're not up next to God, he ain't moved. We've moved. And we got to do the reconnecting. We got to do the scooting over. You know, the first word that every baby in the Middle East learns, do you know what it is? At least that's what this book I read said. Abba. 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 The most intimate word for father. Abba. Daddy. Papa. And this was the word that Jesus used to talk about God the Father. Abba. The most intimate word. He said, call him Abba. Call him Daddy. Call him Papa. God wants us to call him that. You know what? Even when your kids are grown, mine's not grown yet. One thinks she is, but even when your kids are grown, Lee, I know you love it when Ashley says daddy. The sweetest word is daddy. Even, I don't know about even when they want money, but even when they want something. You love to hear daddy. When I sit at the bottom of the steps at night sometimes and Sarah comes down and she says, daddy. I like it a whole lot better than Jim or Sonny or Pastor. You know, and only two people in the world call me daddy. Sarah and Luke. And it's a wonderful, sweet thing to be called. You know, I looked on my cell phone, and my dad's name's not under Jimmy Pinkard. It's under Daddy. And he loves to be called Daddy. Not Father. Not Mr. Pinkard. Not Father of the Great One. Little Jim Pinkard. But I love to call him Daddy, and that's what's in my cell phone. Daddy. God loves to hear us be personal. God loves us to hear us to be intimate with him. Abba. Daddy. And you know when we cry out, he hears. I've seen you moms. When y'all's baby cries out, there could be 1,000 screaming babies. And y'all are just 1,000 babies sitting there, and you know it's your cry. You know it's your cry. When we cry out, he hears. He hears. We distinguish the voices between our children. And he wants to come. He's close. He is close. He's here. You know, and sometimes I wonder when we pray our fancy prayers, or at least me. Let's say me. Sometimes I try to be fancy. You know, I just think God scratches his head. And said, what's wrong with you? You're not sure where to put that thee or that thou and that thy. You know, and I know when Sarah comes to me and she says something like, oh, magnificent Father. You are the keeper of all monetary riches. Could you bestow upon me some of that monetary riches so that I may frequent the movie establishment this evening? No, she comes to him and says, Daddy, I want to go to the movies and I need some cash. Daddy goes a lot farther because it's personal. It's intimate. Last thing, he is a competent father. God is a competent father. There's nothing beyond his capabilities. There's nothing beyond his time. There's nothing beyond his energy. There's nothing beyond his resources. There's no question too big or too small. Because you know what? Somebody asked me one time, says, is this too small for God to worry about? Well, what's too big? There's nothing, you know, as far as God goes, there's nothing too big. It's all small stuff. It's all little stuff, you know, that we bring to. And he is a competent father. And this is really, really important, this competent father, because Hollywood is making our dads look like doofuses. You know, and it's not father knows best anymore. It's Homer Simpson. It's Family Guy. It's Raymond. It's King of the Hill. Guys, today's dad is the butt of all the jokes. Heard one this week. Two boys at school talking about, one of them said, my dad can beat up your dad. Little boy said, that ain't nothing. My mama does it all the time. I didn't say that so y'all remember that dad's the butt of the joke. I just wanted y'all to remember that. We're making dads to be the butt of the jokes. Luke 1:37 says, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I want you to take the word impossible out of your dictionary. You know what? My kids expect me to, especially when they were young, they expect me to fix all, know all, and afford all. Y'all expect y'all to do that? But you know what? As they grow up, they realize that I can't do everything. They realize that I have limits. And so you know what I'm trying to do as a dad? I'm trying to transfer some of that responsibility to let them know that I can't do it all. But I know a dad that can. I know a father that can do anything. Ephesians 3:20 says this, God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You see, I'm a dreamer. I'm a big dreamer. But God says, Jim, no matter how big you dream, I can dream bigger. I can dream bigger. God specializes in the impossible. God is caring. He's consistent. He's competent and he's close. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see, when we understand those attributes of God the Father, hallowed be thy name, we start reverencing his name. We stop throwing his name around just loosely. Oh God, or my God, or for heaven's sake, or for God's sake. We start reverencing his name. Hallowed be thy name. Was God everybody's father? No. No, he's not. He created. Everybody is created by God, but not everybody treats him like a father. We have to choose to be in his family. Guys, I want to tell you, just because you have the ability to father a child doesn't make you a dad. Doesn't make you a dad. There's a lot more to being a dad than just merely providing a seed. And God is the creator, God is the provider, and God wants everyone to be in his family. But you're not in his family until you choose to be. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to be a connection, to connect us with him. 1 Timothy 2:5. God is on one side and all the people on the other side. And Christ Jesus himself, man, is between them to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. Because of the cross, he can bring us across. He's the connection. Because of the cross, he can bring us across. Well, how do we get to God, Jim? Galatians 3:26 is real simple. We are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are children of God not through religion. We are children of God not through works. We are children of God not through good deeds. We are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Not the four happy hops into heaven. Through faith in Jesus Christ. One of the deepest needs that a lot of us face is the approval of our fathers. And the truth is, you're probably never going to get it. Never going to get it. But today I want to tell you, there is a dad who's caring. There is a dad who is competent. There is a dad who's close. And a dad who's consistent. I want to ask you today, would you call him Abba today? Would you choose to accept him today, or would you choose to reject him? Abba, Daddy. Would you pray with me? Oh, my Lord and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you've sent to die on the cross so that we can get across to you. Daddy, I lift my people up to you. Papa, if there's somebody here that isn't in your family yet, I pray today, Lord, that they would accept you. That they'd know you're close. That they'd know you care. They know you're reliable. They know you're competent. Dad, we need you. We need you so bad. And I trust that you'll be there. Holy Spirit, rain down on this place. We love you. And it's in your son's name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen.